come into your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Awesome. And now,
here we go.
Email your questions now to studio@star88.fm.
Yep. All right. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Dude, good times.
We are here.
It's a good day. It's a beautiful day.
In the neighborhood.
Got a little rain last night. Enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the weather station, if you're just tuning in.
It is. I'm Jim Cantore.
Is he a guy favorite, in the weather station?
He's my favorite weatherman. He goes to the heart of the storm, and he doesn't care about it.
Oh, that's a good weather pun.
That's for real.
That's
what he does.
A good weather pun. Well, if he literally went to the eye of the storm, he'd probably be dead.
Jim Cantore doesn't spin it.
Oh, man.
Even when he's in the center of a tornado.
Oh, dear.
Thank you.
Oh,
no.
Man.
Yep.
It's a no.
No, it's good. It's a downpour of solid information.
He's not
goodness.
Stopping. He's not stopping.
It's raining men.
What?
What does
There's
that have
a lot
to do
of guys
with it?
In here.
What does that have to do with Jim Cantore?
What are you talking about? Wait, what are you guys talking about?
Jim Cantore?
Oh, man.
Weather?
That's my favorite weatherman.
Hey!
Shock therapy.
That was like a Finding Nemo status, like Dory
Incredible.
Or whatever.
I loved it. Your 1 hour therapy session. Focused on you, man. What's going on in your life? It's a crazy season. Summertime is here, you know, and maybe you're on that break and you have plenty of time to dwell on your thoughts and are starting to realize that some things aren't quite right in your life and you need to change some stuff. We are seriously here just to hang out with you. We want to know what God's doing in your life or what God could be doing in your life, because maybe you're in that season of suck where you're just like, this is not awesome. We want to hang out because for good or bad, we've all been in those situations. We've all had seasons of amazingness. We've been to the mountaintop, but we've also been in the valley. And so I think that's important to talk about it and to hang out and not allow each other to just drown in our sorrow.
Yeah. And you know, I think that this, it doesn't just have to be something that's wrong.
It
you
doesn't.
Know?
It really doesn't.
I think a fun part that I've loved about Shock Therapy Live is we've answered real life questions that people have. You know, not someone that calls in and says, you know, I'm getting a divorce or my marriage is falling apart, but people who come in and say, hey, I like smoking marijuana. What does the Bible say about that? Is that okay?
Right.
Or, you know, I really like going to R-rated movies with my friends. What do you guys think about that? You know, that's what Shock Therapy Live's all about.
Maybe
the things that you wouldn't go talk to your pastor about is the stuff we want you to talk to us about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know a lot of times people don't like to share stuff like that because of a conviction or because they're like, oh, I know what they're going to tell me, which is probably exactly why you should be talking about it.
Totally.
Because you may be surprised, or two, you may actually hear something that you need to hear.
Yeah, so we say this is Shock Therapy Live, but the reality, you know, this show really started from this heart that we wanted to be unshockable listeners.
Absolutely.
And I think everybody needs unshockable listeners in their life, people that you can talk to, you can ask anything, say anything to, and they're not going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that.
Right.
But that they're going to give you real, raw answers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's what we're all about. We're all about being real with you, talking real, addressing real topics, real life issues, and we'll be honest with you if you're honest with us. So we love doing that.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. Please be patient with us. We don't currently have a phone answer person. I just looked in there and realized Michelle is gone.
Oh, man.
Doug before!
You guys, I can
well,
just
technically,
go in,
I only had like a week or two where Michelle was in there answering phones for us.
That's true.
I miss Michelle, but it's not like I miss her in there because I'm not used to her in there.
Yeah. It was a warm body to answer phones.
Well, technically, we have the seat open for Elijah. If Elijah wants to come and answer phones for us, there's an open seat.
Speaking of, we got a question about Elijah and the Bema seat. No, I'm just kidding.
One time he showed up at dinner.
Wrong show.
However, if he did show up at dinner like he did at Teo's one time, that's the right show because we might need to talk to you.
It was fulfilling prophecy or something, and I said, look, man, we don't have enough chicken for a third person. You got to come back later or give us some advance notice or something.
Maybe.
I don't know.
What if it was just like, imagine the irony of that. If like, you know, Jewish people and Christian Seder dinners, you always leave a seat open for Elijah.
Right.
Imagine if one day just like a homeless dude walked in like, hey, I'm Elijah, man.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, man, Is it the Elijah or is it just like Elijah?
Yeah.
Like, which Elijah?
Let me see some ID.
Gutierrez.
And then he shows his ID and it's like Elijah.
Elijah.
And it just said Elijah. Just, like, no last name.
You went with McLovin? That would be awesome.
Or it said the Elijah. What if it's
the
Elijah?
Elijah. Yeah,
oh,
just one
it's
name.
The Elijah.
Just singular name.
We have to feed him now.
Oh my gosh.
He smells like cigarettes.
So do you prepare an extra meal?
He smells like cigarettes. Old mattresses. What do we do?
That's next on the marquee at
it might
Calvary
be smart.
Hill. Elijah, welcome.
Jesus loves Elijah.
Yeah.
That one's going to get some headlines.
Yeah. 5:05.
There's just one dude crying on the side of the street.
Aww.
It doesn't affect anybody but one dude named Elijah. He's like, man, hit me deep.
Or more than one of them shows up and then they get in a fight because they're like,
no,
me.
I'm Elijah.
Man. I'm the real one.
I promise.
Then it becomes like DC Universe where the characters have to kill each other.
You hungry?
There can only be one.
Yeah.
There can be only one Elijah.
Man, I'm telling you.
The Calvary Albuquerque Hunger Games.
505-338.
Oh, that was too.
Oh,
that was too. That hit the nail on the head too much.
338.
That was too much.
00.
That was good.
I apologize.
Oh, man.
So we do have some questions. We have a couple from last week and then one older one. That we sort of addressed on Theology Thursday, but this is more of like a person-to-person relation question.
Okay.
Dealing with people of other faith. So we wanted to pose it to you, Nate.
Yeah.
Because we feel like you could come at it from a different angle.
Whatever.
Here goes. USSR space program.
Oh, yeah.
Must be an old question.
There it is.
The
Not
real fan.
Sure if this is actually a shock therapy question or Theology Thursday, but here's the situation. My cousin is a Jehovah's Witness, an elder. Quote unquote. He goes out on, quote, service often to share his faith. I'm a born again Christian who received Jesus as Lord and Savior in 2008. I also go out and share my faith often. A few friends and I normally go out every Wednesday on the campus of MSU to meet people, pray with them, share the gospel, and attempt to meet needs. So my issue is that my cousin goes out on Friday to share his Jehovah's Witness faith. I am bugged that he is feeding the people on the campus a different message than we are. And I'm needing advice on how to talk to my cousin about the truth. The truth is that there's a heaven and a hell, and Jesus is the only way. I have not said anything yet because I don't want to get into that conversation until I have the right words to say because I want to make sure it's all done in love.
Yeah.
Any advice on how to discuss with Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons as well would be great. Thanks, guys.
Well, you know, I think you got two questions here, and I assume that when it was asked on Theology Thursday, Brian probably hit the differences between Christianity and Mormonism, and Jehovah's Witness. And then the issue that really applies to Shock Therapy Live is how do you approach this guy in love?
Right.
You know, how do you just...
This is family.
I think really the question for us would be more, how do you talk to people who have different views than you do?
Yeah.
And that's something we've talked about at length on Shock Therapy Live, is how do you approach someone who has different views than you, who thinks differently than you, and how do you approach it in a way that they're going to listen to you, they're not going to tune you out? And you know, I think it really comes down to approaching them in love. You know, I think if you approach your brother and you say, hey man, stop feeding poison to people on campus, stop spreading lies with your crazy, crazy, weird beliefs. If you do that, of course he's going to tune you out. He's not going to want to listen to you.
Right.
So I think what you need to do is instead of approaching him initially to get him to stop sharing his beliefs on campus, you need to approach him and understand his beliefs.
Mm.
And so I think that that's, but you know, but I think that him spreading what he believes is an alternate issue to him believing what he believes. And so I think what you want to do is you want to approach him not from the standpoint of, you know what, I'm really troubled by you sharing your faith on campus. I think you want to approach him and say, hey man, you know, I've realized that you and I have different beliefs, but I really want to know more about what you believe. I want to know more about, you know, your views, and I think you need to start conversations with him. Because this is the reality. No matter how much you ask him or how compelling of a reason you ask him, he's not going to stop sharing his faith just as much as you wouldn't stop sharing yours if he came to you and said, hey man, you know, you're spreading lies on campus. Will you stop sharing your faith? That's not going to happen.
Right.
So I think what you need to do is instead of asking him to stop doing that or thinking of a way to get him to stop sharing his faith, I think you need to approach him and have a conversation with him as your brother, as a friend, and just talk to him about what he believes and why he believes that. I think before you do that, you need to really study up and prepare yourself. Read some books on what Jehovah's Witness do believe. He said Jehovah's Witness, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so do some study on that. I think a great tool and companion for you is going to be a Greek study guide as well, where you can do a Greek exegetical guide of certain passages, which will really really show the true meaning of certain verses as opposed to what Jehovah's Witness believe.
Also, Purple Rain by Prince.
Purple Rain.
He's a Jehovah's Witness, man. It'll give you some insight into like the mind of a Jehovah's Witness. Mm. What did the J-Dubs think? Right here.
This is what happens. This is what happens. I don't know who's more guilty of it, me or Steve-O. Mm. I'm going to say Steve-O because I listen to Theology Thursday too, and I find he doesn't just do it for our show. He does it there too.
Okay. It's like comic relief.
It's like you have this airplane taking off, and it's like. It's just about at cruising altitude, and then a Russian missile hits it and makes it crash to the ground, and everybody dies.
Yep. Wow.
You are a communist.
Wow.
Yep.
That's what happens.
That's what happens.
I hope you enjoy sharing everything you have, buddy.
Okay.
No, well, do you agree with that?
I wholeheartedly agree with you. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important because you're right. A lot of times, I have a friend, a pastor friend, who one time was sharing a story about how, I believe it was Mormons. Mormons or J-Dubs. They came to his house, and he was like, well, and he started sharing, you know, well, here's what I believe, and da-da-da, I'm a pastor. Oh, snap. And then it was like, you got served, and they're like, you know, rap battling out front. And then they left, and he said he waited a minute, and he was like, no, these people are spreading lies in my neighborhood.
Whoa.
And so this dude, I'm not going to say who he is. We all know who he is. He followed them, and so they'd like knock on the door and be like, hey, Jehovah's Witnesses, and he'd be yelling in the back, they are filling you with lies.
Oh my gosh, they are liars,
and the truth is not in them. And I'm not being funny right now. That is serious. And I was just like,
I know you're not being funny, but it is funny.
It is. But well, at the time, like, he's telling the story, and it was like, yeah, man. And he was just so gung ho.
You took a stand.
And I will tell you right now, I did not have a response because in my brain, I was like, that's a lot. That's. I don't know if I would do that. Wait, yes, I do. I know I wouldn't do that.
Right.
But then you see these dudes who are like so filled with passion. It's like, no, they are liars, and I will throw them down with love in my face. Wait, well, what?
You know what it reminds me of? And this is the thing. Think about it this way. Because if you're so inclined to do something like that, you are the equivalent of Buddy the Elf. In the movie Elf.
Right!
When that Santa Claus
That's
is sitting
seriously
there
what
talking
I
to that kid
of.
And you're going, he sits on a throne of lies! You're right. Yelling at some kid and that kid's going, what's that?
I know when you just told that story about Buddy the Elf, it was trying to be like a negative, but that just made it sound like a better idea to me because of that.
Yeah.
That's a great scene.
That is a great scene. But, I mean,
you just made it sound more appealing.
That is the big question,
traumatizing
though.
The kid is not appealing.
I think setting has everything to do with it as well, because this pastor friend was, like, so inclined because it was like, this is my neighborhood. These are my neighbors whom I love. They will not be deceived by these false prophets. That's totally different than, like, a dude just being like, hey, yeah, so I'm a J-Dub. What? You sit on a throne of lies. Like, this is your cousin. This is family. I do think you need to do some research. I do think you need to go to them in love. Because the truth is, they believe this so much that, I mean, you believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in this. As you said, if he came to you and said, bro, I don't believe in what you believe in. Stop it. You'd be like, no. So if you can have a, I don't know, civil conversation, hang out with them.
You know, I want to dig more into this topic of, you know, this pastor guy going around and trailing J-Dubs. Mm. Because, you know, we look at that initially and we say, oh man, that's so bad. I can't believe he did that. But at the same time, you know, the Bible does tell us to guard against false doctrine, to protect the church, to protect people from false doctrine. So to a certain extent, I mean,
I would feel so uncomfortable. That's just not me. He was telling the story, and I was just like, oh, man, I would feel like the weirdo in the neighborhood.
It's not me.
I would.
It's not me. I wouldn't do it. But, we can initially look at it and say, oh, man, that's wrong. But, what do you think? Is it really wrong, or is it just be like, oh, my gosh, I wouldn't do that?
I think it would depend on how well you know your neighbors.
Yeah.
Because if some neighbors, if you know that they would come off thinking that you were crazy.
Right.
That
right.
might make them more susceptible to listen to the kindly, quiet Jehovah's Witness. Because
that's very
you're
true
the idiot
well.
Out in the yard screaming at the neighbor.
Good point. Right. Good
now,
point.
If you have somebody who's more inclined to be, you know, hyper, like, Christian conservative, and they're going to be like, you're doing the right thing!
Right.
And maybe you're going to want right. to go out, and you're going to be in their yard. But then you're going to have to worry about all those other people that are watching you.
You know what I would do, and I've actually heard of Christians doing this as well. They'll trail J-dubs, and every door that the J-dubs knock on, the Christian will then knock on and say, hey, you know, I just saw them come to your door, and I want to talk to you about what the Bible actually says.
Yeah.
And I think that's a way better method instead of yelling on a street corner. Yeah. Because, let's be honest, yelling, no matter what it's in reference to, really never profits anything.
Right. True.
You know? So I think that you know, I think that the heart behind it of wanting to let his neighbors know that that's not right is good, but maybe the way he approached it isn't.
I do think there's wisdom with the dude that sent in the question with the idea of like not wanting to talk, you know, hey, I haven't talked to my cousin yet because I wanted to wait until I had a right, like a good response.
Yeah.
There's wisdom there because we ought to know how we should answer each person, and it's not going to be, you know, textbook the same every single time, because in Scripture you see Jesus, the way he handled, say, the woman at the well. You also see the way that John the Baptist was screaming repent in
That's
people's
true.
Faces. You know
point.
What I mean? So it's like, man, obviously not the same approach, but still had an impact, and the results were similar, you know? Like,
And I mean, to that point as well, the people that John the Baptist was yelling at and the people that Jesus was yelling at were religious people who
yeah,
had it wrong.
That's true. That's true.
So, you know, especially, I think J-dubs come and represent themselves as Christians or mm-hmm. as, you know, I had J-dubs come to me right before Easter, and they're like, man, you know, we want to invite you to come celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And everything they said, again, it is false prophecy to the extreme. They yeah. disguise themselves and masquerade themselves as Christians. And so it's very dangerous because of that.
Yeah.
And what I always do, when J-dubs come to my door, I'm really cordial with them, and I get them to give me as much material as they possibly can. Like, hey, give me some to give to my friends. And then I throw it all away. Because the more of it that's in the trash can means the yeah. less of it that's in people's hands.
How come we don't have a cool nickname? How come J-dubs are called J-dubs?
Can we call Mormons Momos?
Momos. I like that.
No, I mean, we can.
The irony of all this is that I have a Jehovah's Witness friend back in Nashville, and today is her birthday.
Really?
And I said, happy birthday, and she just texted
me.
I said, hey, thanks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought they don't celebrate birthdays.
Well, she left the church.
Oh, okay.
And see, that's another thing. That's why, to me, it's so important, rather than just yelling mm-hmm. In any situation, like Nate saying that you invite them cordially in, I think that's something to consider, because we live, like, take John the Baptist's society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was out in the wilderness because that was an effective way to draw people in.
Right.
Just like in the 90s, an effective way for youth groups to draw people in was to have some huge extreme something. Everything
right.
was extreme for Christ. And
right.
now you try to do something like that and people are like,
man,
I don't want to go to that.
This is loud.
I don't have the money to spend on that.
I didn't bring my glow sticks.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know you're right.
So now in our society, I think, especially when you look at associations with like Westboro Baptist Church and things like that, standing out on the street corner and yelling is
yeah.
not the most effective way to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
In general.
And if this latest series, if Jesus Loves People has taught me anything week after week, it's that every single human being has a story.
Mm.
Why is that person even a J-dub to begin with? As you just mentioned, your friend who
yeah.
left the church, maybe she grew up that way. Maybe she doesn't have strong beliefs in it. Maybe it's just something that they've systematically done because it's what they've been told, and they have never heard the truth of Jesus
mm-hmm.
Christ. So you never know the background, and
yeah.
getting to know that person and understanding their story, because Jesus cares about those details of their life.
Right.
We should care about those details. Why? And so,
that's good.
Man, digging in and researching and really getting to know and showing that you do care because you want to know why they have a certain bend to this, or why they think a certain way, or what it is that causes them to react like this.
Mm-hmm. And now, I do say, dealing with any Jehovah's Witness or Mormon, I think you really need to prepare yourself to have those conversations. You need to make
yeah,
sure
man.
You have answers, you have the knowledge, because you got to understand, a lot of these guys, they prepare to go out and talk to a wider variety of people, and they prepare
yeah.
and they know the arguments that Christians have against Jehovah's Witness. And so, you've got to prepare yourself and really arm yourself to the teeth. faith, you know, with the knowledge and the truth of God's word.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going to come across looking like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And then it does more damage than it does good. So
yeah.
You got to prepare yourself. And on a more important note, I thought of a nickname for us.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're non-denominational Christians.
Okay.
So we can be non-noms. Oh.
Non-noms?
Non-noms.
Non-noms.
Yeah, we're non-noms.
Okay.
Non-denoms.
Got it. My favorite part about the whole conversation was how serious you looked when you stared at me and said,
I've got a nickname.
Non-noms.
But on a more
on a better, more important note,
listen to me.
I've got a nickname.
You are so sincere.
And so now what we can be is we can be the USSR space program non-noms.
Okay.
Oh,
your
man.
Passion for non-noms sold it to me.
Dude. Russian missile over here.
Hey.
505-338-37.
Can we actually do that instead of like calling like our like the Star 88 like the ground control or
yeah,
what? Can we just call? Hey, this is the non-noms.
The non-noms, bro.
The Star 88 non-noms.
Hashtag yeah. non-noms.
Well, because we're non-coms, right? We're already non-com. Right?
It's the non-noms non-com. Star 88.
And then we can be like, yeah, I like that.
So much. 505-33.
Isn't there like isn't like nom nom? Nom noms like
nom noms yeah. like when you eat.
You eat it's like nom, man, nom. We're some nom noms want some nom noms. Nom noms want some nom noms.
That's nom, what nom, we do nom, when nom, we nom, have nom. Communion. No,
oh god.
Oh man.
I knew you were gonna go there. I was thinking the same thing. Hashtag communion, hashtag nom nom, hashtag non nom, hashtag non nom non com.
This Sunday join some non noms for some nom nom.
Blah, 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 blog.
505-338-3700, because if you don't give us a question, we'll keep on this tangent.
It's going to keep going.
Actually, we shouldn't say that, because a lot of times we get emails from people who love our tangents and love
Let
us
me
just
refresh.
Talking stupidly. So
nothing. If you don't call us, I'm going to say nom nom for the next 30 minutes.
Don't, please.
Nom nom
hurry.
Nom
Someone.
Nom 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 nom.
Whatever happened to Derek? Derek, call in. Hurry.
I know, right?
Nom 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 nom.
We got some email questions, actually.
You know what? And before we move on, here's the key, another thing, because... we all have friends with different beliefs. And thing about a lie is the reason that it carries so far is because there's a little bit of truth in every lie.
Mm.
It's a truth twisted.
Yeah.
And so especially when you have a cult like, or what's labeled as a cult like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Hare Krishnas, everything like that, they take a truth from Christianity and then they twist it a little bit.
Yeah.
And you'll notice that
it's not like Scientology, which is just crazy.
I mean, true. Aliens in the earth.
Like, that's just crazy.
But the thing is, that's how you use that to relate to someone that has different beliefs to you. Like, both of these guys are super passionate about going out and sharing their faith.
Right.
And even, like, the Jehovah's Witness faith. Like, I learned they're super passionate about taking care of the planet.
Right.
Because they, too, believe that the new heavens and the new earth are going to be, it's going to be here on earth, and it's going to be, like, you know, reconverted in the end times. They also carry it on to believe that there's 144,000 that's going to go on the special planet and actually be with God and all that. And that's where it goes. But a big consciousness in the Jehovah's Witness church is taking care of the planet. And in my opinion, it should be like that in our church too. Like that's why
when J-Dubs come over, I pour oil. Just out on the street.
Maybe not the best idea, but what I'm saying is you can relate to them in that, you know, we're supposed to take care of what God's given us and be good stewards, and believe it or not, it's not the 70s anymore. That includes the planet Earth.
I just see Nate out front. He's like
burning
throwing
trees.
Batteries away.
What like, you doing?
Hey, guys, just
pouring it out for my homies.
Disposing of these batteries incorrectly. What are you doing?
J-Dubs come, hey, can I bother you for a second? Oh, sorry, I'm just getting ready to burn a tree. But if you want to join me.
Amazing, amazing.
Wow.
505-338-3700. It is Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzig, Steve Oteo hanging out with you. And we got some email questions. If you wanna keep it anonymous, that's cool. Anon-nom.
Say nom-nom with the non-noms.
That's right.
As we eat some nom-nom.
On our non-com.
Nom-nom.
Star 88.
If you want to keep it anonymous, studio.
Hey, gum, gum.
At
you want some gum gum?
Star 88.
Oh, man. Okay. Next email. Hey guys, first I love listening to your show. It's very uplifting.
All right.
My question is about being single.
Oh.
I haven't been in a relationship for about 4 years, and let me tell you, the struggle is real.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 26 years old, and all of my friends are married or engaged. Some are even having kids.
Feel like crazy right now.
I'm not where I thought I would be at this point in my life. I know God's plan is more important. important, but it's hard to stay positive. Everyone tells me I'm so young, I have plenty of time, and just pray about it, but it's hard not to wonder if marriage is even in my future. I'm lonely, I'm a little jealous of all the happy couples around me.
Did we answer this question?
Would be greatly appreciated. I don't think so, because we got it on Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, we answered a question like pretty much exactly like this. Remember that question about the person who wrote in about all their friends getting married and they have a hard time not being bitter or jealous against their friends? Like, almost identical.
Oh, yeah.
It almost leads me to believe that it's the same lady who wrote in
and asked it again.
This is a lady. That was a dude.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, guess what? Well, here's what this shows me immediately.
Matchmaker.
No, we're not matchmaking.
Are we
going to
do it?
No, we're not.
Are we
going to
do it? Oh, man.
No, guys. I was just going to say that you're not alone in your struggle. Mm. Like, this is what happens. I was hanging out at the baseball fields talking to a friend this week, and they, too, are single, and they, too, are in their mid-20s, and they were like, dude, because they're looking at my life, and I got three kids, and I got the dog, and the house, and the wife, and everything's so perfect, and they're just alone, and I'm looking at them going, dude, but you just traveled to here, and you just got to see this amazing band, and there's so many freedoms in your life, and you had the opportunity to A, B, and C, and God's doing all this stuff in your life. Don't discount what God is doing where you are at. I think a lot of times we just immediately look at other people's lives and go, dude, you know what would solve my problems? A freaking girlfriend, bro. Mm. You know? And it's like, if anything has taught me anything, girlfriends don't solve.
Yeah. You know, I think with this too, you know, with being single, I think a lot of times people are single, and I'm not saying like there's a reason they're single, but what I'm saying is that they're single, and they usually put themselves in a place, people who are single for a long time, mm-hmm. of staying that way for whatever reason. So what I mean by that is they say, you know what, I hate being single, but they have opportunities to not be single, but they're extremely picky, or they're,
and
you know, you should be somewhat. But I know a lot of people who are like, man, like, you know what, like, I really want to be in a relationship, but they're weird in relationships.
And that's a bad place to be, because that's exactly it. That's your goal. I was talking to Teo about how I'm going to write this amazing dating book, right? Because
like every Christian guy does?
Yeah, every Christian guy does it. It's like you get married and then you're, it's like discovering what dating is, because you're married now and it's not over. You gotta
date your lady,
right?
Has already been stolen though, because the most successful Christian dating book was by a guy that gave up dating.
He kissed it goodbye.
He kissed it goodbye.
And that, think of that, everyone, and tell me you weren't duped into believing it. That guy got every one of us.
I'm coming for you, Joshua Harris.
Let me write the best dating book. It's about not dating.
You may not know when, you may not know why, but you will know.
You will know.
I'm coming for you.
Like a magical wave of despair.
And I hate that he's like courting. Like, that's the same thing. Whatever you want to call
thing.
It, right. So stupid. Like, call it courting, call it dating, call it going steady, whatever you want to call it, it's still the same thing.
But if that's your focus, I'm going to call it a word that's going to be uncomfortable for us as Christians. If that is your focus, so much so that it is your idol, if dating is your idol, if that invisible person is your idol, you will never find satisfaction, because it is a false god, and God will never stand for that. He'll never, ever, ever give you that contentment in that human being you're looking for, so long as it is an idol that needs to get knocked off its little altar.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, and that's what happens with so many of the single friends I have who are like, I'm so alone. Well, stop focusing on being alone. Look at all these amazing things around. God is doing so many rad things. But your focus becomes everybody else is getting married. Everybody else is. But I'll tell you what, there is a rash of like early 20 somethings getting married. And sadly, there's also a rash of like 20 and 30 somethings getting divorced because you don't give it the proper time.
True.
You're not doing it the way God is wanting us to do it. But we here in the church go, dude, I can't bone yet. I got to get married so that I can totally do it.
And I think within Christianity, this is the thing within Christianity too. I think that when we're single and we want to find our spouse, we hyper spiritualize it. And so it's like, this is what I would say. If you want to date, it's not that hard to find someone to date.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to date, start hanging out with single people.
FarmersOnly.com.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. No.
No, if you're a farmer, that's a great option.
Hold on. Plane taking off. Missile.
Here's the problem, guys. As a person who studies human interaction right now, you guys are both missiles to each other.
I know.
You
we can't help it.
You both take down each other. Like, it's like, all right, Nate's talking. Steve-O's like, Steve-O's talking. Nate's like, and I'm over here.
It's like missile command. We're just constantly, it's a game.
And you're
bro.
Freaking War Switzerland
games.
Over
I'm
there.
I'm just over there watching, waiting.
But that's the truth. There's a lot of truth to be said. We joke, but that's, I mean, it's Shock Therapy Live. If you've never listened to the show, welcome. This is how it's going to be forever. Because the truth is...
I forgot what I was saying. What was I talking about?
Idols. You're talking about that very thing.
I'm not talking about idols. You were talking about idols.
Right, but you were continuing the same conversation forward.
Yeah.
Talking about the idea of, you know, these 20-somethings and our focus.
Yeah, okay, so they complain about not dating, but they don't do anything about it. That's my thing. So what they do, they complain about not dating, but then they say, well, God just hasn't brought the person to me. What they mean by that is God hasn't sent someone that came to them and said, God told me to talk to you, and he told me that he wanted me to date you because I knew that you were lonely.
Right.
And that's what they mean by God hasn't given me somebody yet.
That's because they're
But they're not doing anything about it. They're not hanging out. They're hanging out with all their married friends. They're not going out and, you know, hanging out with, you know, going to college group and going to, you know, we have Renovate. It's like 18 to 28-ish is what we say. They're not going there and meeting people. They're not putting themselves out there. They're just saying, you know what? I'm lonely and God hasn't given me somebody. Well, yeah, if you just sit around and wait for God to bring the person like Prince Charming or, you know, this Barbie doll over your way that's going to be like, oh man, I love Jesus and I'm smoking hot and I just feel like we should be together. That's not going to happen. You got to put yourself out there. You got to put yourself in places where you can find somebody if you're tired of being single.
Yep.
Otherwise, stop complaining about being single.
Non-noms love rom-coms, which to is chick porn. I'm being totally serious. This is exact. I've always called it this. Those stupid romantic comedies where it's this magical, serendipitous, like running into, oh my gosh, and all of a sudden, and you spend. That's not the way it happens.
Yeah.
It's really not. And you're right. So many people are just sitting around waiting for that person to just magically pop up, and it's not necessarily going to happen that way. It's not orchestrated that way.
And if it does, they're probably creepy.
Yeah, you know what? Two things. What that is that's the person, just like you're saying, you are being lazy.
Yeah.
You're not waiting on God. You're being lazy.
Yeah.
You don't want to get out. You don't want to put yourself out there. Probably from, you know, you're uncomfortable with making yourself vulnerable. You don't want to get hurt. You've been hurt in the past. Totally understand that, but you can't do that because honestly, if somebody showed up in your life and said, God told me to date you,
you'd be thoroughly
and then,
creeped out.
No. And say you go with it. You're like, yes, the Lord has finally delivered. You go with it. Bet you $1,000 10 years down the road, you resent that person and you say, no, I didn't really think about this and I want out now because, you know, this was a trap.
Right.
And that's what's gonna happen.
Now I wanna say, granted, we're reading a lot into this email. This poor lady wrote this and she's like, but I'm so low, so we're speaking generally to the issue or the problem of Christians and complaining about dating, complaining about single. We're not speaking to you specifically.
Anon, you are not the problem.
Yeah, the non-noms aren't judging you.
Yes, that's not you. We're not judging you specifically.
No. We're just
generalizing
what it.
This is what happens I was going to say in culture, but in church culture. That's exactly it. So,
hey, we've got a phone call. I want to talk to a person, not a computer.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Let's go out to line one. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, my name's Dominic, man. I was just overhearing the conversation about the Mormons.
Yeah, man.
About a week ago, me and my family were at a park. We go to a church. It's called Family Church in Paradise Hills.
Cool.
And it's a non-denominational church, gospel-centered. We love it. Some Mormons came up to us at the park.
Momos.
And basically started, you know, we love their boldness. That's the thing. They came up to us and tried to preach to us. We got some questions, though. They actually reached out to us. They've been calling us nonstop. My wife wants to meet up with them, wants to invite them into our home. And I don't want them in my home, you know. I just don't want their false doctrine, you know, in our home. But you guys encouraged me just now about showing them love and letting them in my home.
Good.
And I just want to know, like, is this the way that we should go as believers, as Christ-centered believers, should I let them in our home and see why they believe what they believe? Is this where God wants me to leave my family to show our faith? in Christ Jesus.
This is what I would say. I would say totally. I would say totally have them in your home, but I would also say in companion with that, don't wait for them to get in your home to learn what they believe. Right. Study what they believe before they get in your home. You've got your wife, you've got kids, you've got your family. What I would do is I would say, hey, we're going to have this family here. They're going to come to our house. We're going to have these people to our house. They're going to have dinner with us. Their views are different than ours. Their views are false. You know, they're going to come in, they're going to say what they believe. It's not true. And what we're going to do is, as a family, before they come, we're going to study what they believe. We're going to compare it to the scriptures. We're going to compare it to the original manuscripts of the Bible and see the reality of what they believe in light of Christ. So you learn what they believe before they come to your home, and then you have them to your home. There's this common misconception within a lot of Christianity that, you know, I don't want to have this false doctrine in my home. Like, somehow having like a Mormon in your house is going to pollute your house, and then it's going to be like Insidious, and you're going to like have to like, you know, get clean, cleanse your home of Mormonism or something. Right. Or, you know, I hear Christians do that all the time. Like, man, you know what? Someone brought a satanic Bible into my house, and now I gotta move. There's not demons living in your house because someone brought a satanic. It's a book.
Right.
If you want to talk about a living book that's powerful, that's the Word of God.
Yeah.
A satanic Bible, you know, a Mormon Bible, that holds no power. It's just a lie.
If they do bring it in, you have to take the Bible and spin around three times.
Stop it.
And play.
Mm.
No?
Stop it.
Okay. Mm.
Stop it.
Well, if you're going to be that weird about it, I mean,
seriously.
Come on. That it sounds stupid because it is.
It is,
like,
yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
So a lot of Christians
given to a spirit of fear.
So a lot of Christians, you know, have an issue with that. Like, man, I don't want to fill my home with that. But you're not filling your home with that. A home, just like a church. You know, people. I think a lot of times people hyper spiritualize the church and say, oh man, the walls of the church. Like, we got to keep it holy. The walls of the church is just a building.
Yeah.
The building falls down. The church didn't die. The church is with in our hearts.
Amen.
And the church is about people.
Yeah.
And so the same is with your home. Your home is not going to get affected. Your family is not going to get affected by Mormonism's, by Mormons or by another religion coming into your home. Now, what your family will get affected by is if you don't prepare yourself before, because your family, your home, isn't as much the house, the walls that you live in. Your home, your family, is you guys, the people.
Mm.
And so you prepare yourselves before you have a conversation with those people. You don't just let yourself say, oh, we're just going to have an open mind and hear what they believe, because, you know, then you could get duped, you could get stumped, you could get put into a place where you're compromised. So you want to prepare yourself, you want to learn about what they believe before you talk to them and have them into your home. Does that help?
Okay, that totally helps. And like I said, when they met up with us at the park, when they came boldly up to
us,
they offered us a couple of their Mormon books. We took him, and we have him on our desk.
Cool.
But that's something that my wife... the guy asked me if I wanted one. I told him no. But my wife, you know, my wife is, she's so awesome. Her faith is so awesome. She's very outgoing. She loves to hear about other people's faith. And so she grabbed a couple for us. And my brother was actually with us. We're trying to get him in the church, and they offered him one. And you know what my wife did? My wife actually, before they left, sneaked her hand in there and took the Bible out.
Good.
You know what I mean? So because she didn't want, because my brother, he's actually, you know, we're trying to get him in the church. We're trying to get him to see Jesus, you know?
Good.
We're trying to get him saved. And we just didn't want him to get any type of false doctrine.
That's
filled
good.
Up inside of him. But that's the thing, you know? That's what we're battling with, and that's what I'm battling with. But I'm very encouraged on what you guys said and what you guys told me right now. So I will prepare myself.
Yeah, prepare yourself. Have him over and make a nice meal, you know, and feed him and show him that you love him.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Right on,
no
man.
Doubt.
Thanks.
All right, man. Thanks for calling.
You guys be blessed.
God bless you, man.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Is it 1,000 degrees in here or just 1,000?
It's a little warm.
Like 99.
It's a little warm.
Okay, cool.
Sorry, guys. That's me.
Okay. Well,
but so haven't you found that, though? Christians hyper-spiritualize everything.
Of course,
like,
dude.
Like, I hear of Christians all the time, like, we're scared of things, thinking that, like, we have this almost, like, medieval belief that things have demons in them.
Right.
Well, like, if there's a Ouija board in my home, then my home's unclean.
Why would you have a Ouija board in your home?
But I'm just saying. They get freaked out about, like, now I'm not saying, like, oh, it's okay.
A Ouija board
is just like Scrabble. That's not what I'm saying.
No, right.
Well, a lot of times,
demonic
though,
Scrabble.
I feel like people do that. They hyper-spiritualize stuff because the church is super guilty. I am super guilty of
fear-mongering.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a line that I feel like we haven't done very... Because at the same time, we're like, why would you be afraid of bringing a book into your home? But then everything, you go in any Christian bookstore, and most of the stuff you read is about how everything is the end times, and every right. guy is the Antichrist, and everybody's
everything
trying to
is
kill
evil.
You.
Don't
listen to Metallica.
Everything will steal your soul.
You know? I mean, and so pretty it's hard much. To be like, everybody is so crazy, but at the same time, we foster
that. But don't listen
to
Metallica. It will suck your soul out.
We foster that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right.
Now, I want to be clear. By us saying this, we're not saying, read the Satanic Bible.
No.
Oh, hey,
no,
you know, have a copy of every anti-religious book in your house.
Right.
That's not what we're saying. We're just saying, don't give those things power they don't
right.
have.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what
go.
We're saying.
Happens
because
a lot.
That's part of what Satan wants to do. And I find that a lot of people focus so much on Satan and on demons. What they're doing is they're giving him power.
Right.
And, you know, I think that we have power in Christ. And so don't focus on the enemy. Don't focus on the tools of the enemy. Focus on God, and don't give Satan, don't give demons, don't give false religions more power than they have, because they really don't have power, and don't let them believe that they have this great power over us, which they don't.
Yeah, but can demons rip a phone book in half? Power team! Doing it for the Lord! Oh!
You just pretended to rip napkins, and you didn't even do that.
Well, that's because I didn't want to mess up our Chipotle napkins. We have a stack of napkins.
That's a nice stack of napkins.
That's a good stack of napkins. Why would anybody want to rip these? Power team, stop ripping things, man. Come on, you're just destroying paper.
I think Power Team is actually just sponsored by like Verizon Wireless.
Yeah.
Like, hey, who needs a phone book when you've got a telephone?
Yeah! 505-338-3700, the phone number.
Let's or like 411. 411 is sponsoring Power Team to rip phone books.
Star 88, hello.
Everyone's using 411.
Hello.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. My name's Sarah, calling from Las Cruces, and I just want to go back to your single. You talk about people who are sad because they're single. And they're
single and ready to mingle.
Okay. Right. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was your question?
I met my husband when I was 30, and he's actually Mormon at the time.
Okay.
Wow. You're talking about both questions.
Yeah, this is amazing. Way to bridge the gap.
And I was able to convert him to Nam Nam, which was great. Because basically the Mormon service just was taking up like 8 hours, and the fact that they didn't, accept Christ as their Savior really is something that I couldn't really negotiate on. So I just find it incredibly miraculous that God decided to put me with someone who respects my faith and who believes what I believe and was able to open their heart and their mind.
Awesome.
And
so he did accept Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome.
And he had before, but I think he did admit to me that he was hanging out with the Mormons to find a wife.
Or wives. So,
power
of
love, man.
Let's be honest.
Which is kind of funny, because it's like you finally like, hey, you can't look at her.
Because, you know, it is hard to find someone who's ready to settle down and who does accept, you know, religion of any sort.
And have 10 babies.
People who party at that age.
No, you're right.
But I wanted to go down to cut back to the other single thing. A lot of people who are single and looking for someone to date or a husband or a wife, you know, they want that perfect hot person that's like in incredible shape, you know, and they have all these ideals, like you were saying, people are picky. Well, I think, you know, they need to take a look in the mirror. Like, I know some people who are like 100 pounds overweight and they want a boyfriend or girlfriend who's in perfect shape.
I'm glad you said this because I couldn't have.
We could never say this. So
I probably would have, but
right,
I can't.
Right, because that's just mean, girl. I'm just kidding.
No, well, you're right.
Kind of unrealistic.
You are right.
And I have friends who, you know, are in good shape, but they're completely annoying and self-absorbed.
CrossFit.
So,
unrealistic expectations. That's what it all comes back to. Whether it's the rom-com that you're watching that Prince Charming is going to come along, what you're saying is back to unrealistic expectations.
To your point, though, you know, I love that you're saying this, because I actually had a friend who was like, you know what, I just want to find this Christian girl, and she's got to really, you know, have a really strong relationship with God, and I want her to be ready to have a family, and I want her to be, you know, pretty. He was giving me all these things, and I was like, hey, if you find that girl, do you think she's going to date you? And he was like, maybe not. And I said, so maybe stop focusing on finding the perfect girl. Maybe start focusing on making yourself the kind of person that that girl is going to want when you find that girl.
That's good.
And so I think I think that's what we need to focus on. You know what? If you want a smoking hot girl who loves Jesus Christ, who wants to have babies, start working out, start studying the scripture, start having a good relationship with Christ, and then be ready for her when she comes.
Right, because
Christ is going to help you do that. Christ is going to help you look in the mirror and say, okay, come to Jesus here, be honest with yourself, and like you were saying, this is why I'm still single, because I drink too much, or, you know, I'm not enough of a gentleman, or you know, I really don't want abstinence, I really don't want to wait till after marriage, I do want to pressure sex, and it's just interesting that the journey of Christ will help you look at yourself. And for me personally, I did look to marriage as an idol, because I think, like, society forces women to do that, because if you're not married by and have kids by certain, you know, 29 or whatever, you know, you're just not doing something right. You're
just thank God that you don't live in like ancient Jewish culture, like you're not married by 12.
Ancient Jewish culture, go to the South, man.
It's like, oh man, I'm 12 years old, I don't have kids,
because you have this, you know, age timer on your biological clock or whatever.
Egg timer. I love it.
But for me, I was dating someone who actually did worship Satan, and he was my best friend during college. And I realized, I said, how and when are you going to stop denying Christ in this world? And he said, I need you to help show me that.
And so this wasn't the Mormon, this was another guy?
Yeah, this is the guy who I was engaged to, because I thought I could save him, and I thought I could get him over to the other side. He was actually in the dark side, listening to death metal and everything.
Did you ever say, you don't know the power of the light side?
I was just about to play
Star Wars. Dang it.
Oh, he loved Star Wars.
Wait, that doesn't mean why.
Steve-O worships Satan.
That's indirect. There's no correlation to Star Wars and the dark side, okay?
Yeah, that's what someone on the dark side would say.
Oh, man. From my perspective, the Jedi are evil. Wait,
what? Oh! The truth is revealed.
That was Anakin Skywalker.
There's a reason Darth Maul looks like Satan.
I realized I had to leave him because, you know, there was no way that I could convert him if he couldn't see the miracles in our lives and all the blessings that were poured upon us. And I realized that I was worshiping it as an idol, not necessarily him, but the idea of being married. And so the second I let go of that fear and said, you know what, Christ, it's on your time. And like you were saying, these are all the blessings in my life that I have to pursue. And I will find that person. So I called off the wedding. Mm. I gave him back the ring. Mm.
It was a pentagram.
Dress,
you
know. That was nice.
That was sweet.
The ring was a horcrux.
Whoa.
I did give back the ring. I did.
That was sweet of you. You could have pawned that crap, girl.
And then 2 years later, he did sell it on eBay later. But that's what I heard through his friend.
Is the most interesting phone call I think we've ever had.
This is great. Sarah, right? Your name's Sarah?
Yes. Thank you, Sarah.
Sarah, you managed to tie in all of what we talked about today.
2 weeks later. Yeah. I met my husband 2 weeks later.
There you go.
And it was like moving on up. It was like from a Satanist to a Mormon.
So,
moving on up. Getting closer, getting warmer.
This guy has a job. He's sober, and he worships God.
And at least he doesn't hate Jesus. He just believes in a different one.
Oh my gosh! Amazing.
And then he proposed to me like 3 weeks later. We were out in the middle of the ocean surfing, and he just said, you know, he proposed to me, and I said, I don't even know you that well, but, you know, let's go with it. And then later on, I said, you know,
Sarah, I feel like you're a walking example that we should tell every listener not to do.
Yeah. Oh, God. No, keep telling me.
I'm glad that your story worked out. I'm glad that your life worked out, but literally, like, the decisions you made are, like, literally what we would tell everybody not to do.
Yeah.
I know. Hey, I was born on faith. I took a leap of faith. And so did he. And I said, did you plan that out? Because he was like, no, I just felt the Spirit come over me. And I just felt like God was in me at that time and place. And I just needed to tell you that and to ask you that. And I was like, okay.
There you go.
Now, when did he get saved? When did he get saved? Like, when did he turn away from Mormonism and become a born-again Christian? Hello?
Did I lose the call? Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
So, when did your husband get saved? When did he turn from Mormonism and become a Christian? Was that before he proposed to you? Like in that three-week span?
Yeah, it was before, because I said, listen, I can't hang out with these people. Like, their testimony was too much for me. I respected it, but I was like, I can't go through this every Sunday for 8 hours listening to these people cry about how much they love God. You know, and I respected it, but, you know, I just couldn't handle it.
Sarah, we love you.
Sarah, this has got to be the best phone call we've had on Shock Therapy Live in a long time.
Oh,
well,
man.
I'll tell you what, God really worked a miracle, and a lot of people they can't believe my story about my husband. We've been married for 8 years. I just had another baby born on May 4th. And so,
May the 4th be with you! Oh,
May
4th. Amazing.
Oh, man, the dark side!
Hey, Sarah,
you're
thank amazing. You for telling us
thank
your story.
Thank you, Sarah.
Awesome.
Incredible.
You're welcome. God bless.
God bless. God bless you. Have a good day.
This is what we're talking about. With
dude.
The idea of, like, getting to know a person, like, getting to hear a story, because...
I could not have made that story up if I tried.
And we make up some crazy stuff here on Shock Therapy Live. So
dude.
That was magical. That was mad. We
was
only
great.
Have, like, 2 minutes, and I'm bummed, because we got to get to the phone
yeah,
lines.
Yeah, we have a lot of communication.
Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, I just, real quick, since we're on a very short time frame, my husband and I met up with two Mormon missionaries in town. Actually, they were asking us questions, and I'm very famous for inviting everyone over to my house or whatever, and I invited them. They wanted to know if they could meet with us and have come over to our house and have dinner and speak to us, and I said, sure, and I told them, you know, when would be a good time. And my husband pulls me aside later and goes, what in heaven's name are you thinking? And I said, well, you know, I don't believe God brought them into our path for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I believe that, you know what, we're just going to pray and believe. We'll have them over and talk to them. I said, we know what they believe. And I said, but I think it's good for them to know how we believe. And I think it can be a ministering time. Even if they don't change, we know they're not going to change the way we believe about the Lord.
Yeah.
But we believe we can be a real blessing, and it was amazing. It was an amazing time. We had the dinner together. The girls were just very sweet. And I told them, I said, we'd like to pray for you, for your protection, because as you go out and you go from house to house, we want to make sure that you're safe doing what you're doing.
They were girls that were going from house to house?
They were girls.
I've never seen that. That's interesting.
They were girls, and I, you know, my husband and I felt like, we want to make sure you're safe, and we're going to pray over you.
Wow. So did you guys stay in contact with them? Did it ever progress from there?
It, you know what? It didn't, but we gave them our information so that if they ever wanted to, they're welcome to.
That's gotcha. Awesome. You know, I think that's so cool because I think, you know, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses are, I think, very used to being shown disgust when they go to people's doors.
Yeah.
So I think it's really cool when a real Christian shows them love and, you know, lets them know, prays for them. I think that's really neat. So I commend you for that. I think that's great.
Okay, boys, have a good day.
You too. Thank you so much.
And I think it's important,
man,
too.
Man, that's so cool. I think what a great thing to be famous for inviting people in, for feeding people, for showing love to people.
That's
I
right.
think it's important, too, because inevitably today we will get an email from either a Jehovah's Witness listener or a Mormon listener who is offended because they feel demonized. And I think it's important... as, you know, a Christian, to not demonize people because you disagree. They're in a cult.
Absolutely.
But you don't demonize the person because that's just not effective. Like, if you're demonizing someone else, to me it just shows that you don't really want them to come to faith.
Yeah.
Right. You're demonizing that person. You're shutting them out. You're pushing them out.
Yeah.
It's like Anakin. Like, it was the power of the dark side that drew him over. It wasn't actually like Anakin just really loved the queen.
Yeah.
Amidala. Yeah. He just really loved her. And it was the dark side that drew him. He wasn't a bad guy.
He wasn't a bad guy.
And in his heart, he was the one that changed everything.
And in the end, when he pulled off his mask and he was all of a sudden not like young white Anakin Skywalker, he was all of a sudden like...
Really
this,
old crusty dude.
Yeah.
He kind of looked like a weird, like... what is it? Like a squash, kind of. Like a weird-looking thing you'd see in the produce section.
If you miss any part
spaghetti
of Shock
squash.
Therapy Live, you have to download the podcast.
He looks like a spaghetti squash.
It will change
it's
your life.
It's a conspiracy. Darth Vader's spaghetti squash.
Oh, man.
He's a flying spaghetti
monster.
That is
monster. It for us. Feel free to send in your emails throughout the week. Studio@starradio.fm. We will collect them. I promise you, next week we will get to them.
You
amazing
know,
show.
That was the only bad part about Star Wars was seeing Darth Vader without his mask.
Yeah.
He should have kept that thing on.
Yeah.
Like, there's some things you don't want
to
see.
But he wanted to look upon his son with his own eyes.
Wow.
Yeah, shouldn't have.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have.
All right.
Darth Vader was cool till you realized he was a gross, weird thing underneath.
I think I'm going to hear about this today at the gym, because a lot of the guys that go to the gym with are Mormons.
Yeah, you know, talking about going
to the
gym.
We'll talk about it today, guys.
You're looking buff.
Oh, thanks, man.
You're looking good. I was like, from where I'm at, I can't see your face a lot. I can just see your right arm, and I've been staring at it throughout the whole entire show, saying, man.
Gravity, man.
CrossFit.
He's looking good.
All right, you keep studying that Bible. CrossFit. He's going to keep going to the gym.
Oh, gosh.
And looking like the Hulk. So, that's it for us. If you missed any part of the show, the podcast is available for free. Star88.fm/shocktherapylive.
This was a good one.
Yes,
doesn't get better than this.
We'll see you guys next week. Steve Oteo and Pastor Nate.
Hey, get rid of those Mormon Bibles.